I want to thank all of you for your faithfulness. Grace Assembly passed through a great trial. It wasn't just my trial. The whole assembly went through a real trial, and I thank you for standing and for praying. I'd also like to say that I enjoyed the messages where I was sitting and I really listened. I said to someone, when you can't talk, you learn to listen. And I learned that all during that time. And I didn't realize how important it is to listen. Very. But I just want to say I enjoyed Gloria's message on the shepherd. The good shepherd, the great shepherd. I think that's going to be a revelation in the next 7 years, is on the great shepherd of the sheep. And I also appreciated Don's on the 3 days. I traced those out carefully and how they foreshadowed really the greater third day, not from Mount Sinai, but Mount Zion in Hebrews 12. Thank the Lord for that message. And Jeannie's message, I felt on the green tree and the dry tree. She asked me about it, and I said it was provocative. I had to think, and I'm not through thinking on that. The depth in that message was great, and I want to go back again and make sure I grasp what the Lord is saying in both the green tree and the dry tree. And Bob's message, you see, I am listening. And John, or 1 John 1, about handling the word of God. And I thought of those disciples, how they handled him physically, and yet we still handle him when we handle the word of God. I wonder if we know what we're handling, how important, and the wonderful sermon there between our walk and our standing. Ponder it, and you'll understand that those are two different things, and both need repentance. Yes, they do, and a cleansing. But thank you, Bob. I enjoyed that very, very much, and all the messages. Now, this evening, I'm not going back to my original lessons, but I want to turn again to Jeremiah 12:5, and I'll read it. If thou hast run with a footman, and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary you or weary thee, and then the question, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? You know, this is a profound verse. Now, first of all, I would like to say we've been through a great fight on the left. And this was no small plot that came on our nation. And in the days right ahead, we are going to receive a revelation of what we were under. The Lord is going to reveal that. The things that we were under, we didn't even know or couldn't comprehend fully. There was a great plot to destroy our nation by the God of this world on the left. But God has prevailed. And it is God that turns it to the right. And I hope we don't forget that, because we look at the political and we wonder what they're going to do here, what they're going to do there. But it really rests with God in the third heavens and the second heavens. That's who we need to touch and stay in touch with. Hold us, Lord. Keep us. Because we need the space ahead of us, not for what they are running for, but for what I believe the Word of God, the 7 good years. But we have, during this time, run with the footmen. And it was a land of peace. And I think we're introduced to horses in this trial because so many believed that the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse was going to ride. Do you know how many that thought we were going to step into the tribulation? It may not have been in our circles, but many thought we were going right in to Revelations and the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse. So we did, that was a wrestling for us because we knew God had to give the 7 good years. And so there are many, and I won't go into this, but many that interpreted Daniel 7 quite differently than we do. And in that last part of that, we have a description of the Roman Empire as so cruel and having heads and all of this. And many people just felt like by reading, and if you just read it, you come up with one conclusion. Rome's going to rise again if you just read it. But if you ponder it and consider it, as Daniel did, consider it, you'll learn in there that the little horn, and I haven't been allowed to speak on this yet, the little horn was not the Antichrist yet. It was the youngest of the nations that would rise. And that was indeed our own nation. It rose up. And then after that, horns were plucked up. We may be going to see some of these things in the days that are right behind us. Watch, or before us, watch Europe. I don't know what's going to happen there. We're going to see things. That's why I haven't wanted to speak on it, because things are changing. I don't know fully what it means. 5 have fallen and 1 is. I don't know what that means yet. But I know the church as a whole just fell for a revived Roman Empire. The ones that I would say that believe in the rapture and all of that, they fell for this particular thing. And now I think they're greatly shaken somewhat because of this turn to the right. Most of them don't know what happened. There are a good many of them. But we want to remember that there's other prophecies that go along with this. I thought of Matthew 4. You won't need to turn there. And the great temptation. And that's such a wonderful study when our Lord went through that. But the last portion of that, he took him to a high mountain and offered him all the kingdoms. Now you say, well, they passed away. How could he offer them to the Lord? They're coming again. That's what the Lord did not succumb to. You say, well, Babylon's gone. Medo-Persia's gone. No. They were offered to the Lord, and he declined and went on to the cross because he wanted to establish the heavenly kingdom before he would come and set up his kingdom upon the earth. And that's when Satan began to fear him. But he offered it to them. If the Lord had taken those kingdoms, it would have been under Rome at the time. But he went on and began to win the greater victory. I only want to say one more thing. Study Revelations 13, 17, and also 18. And the name Babylon occurs. It's there, so we have to deal with it. And it is. You can deal with it. But it takes study. And I'm doing some of that. I know others are as well. and I believe it has the head of a lion, seven-headed. I don't know who those are totally. And it has a leopard body. Generally, that's thought to be Germany or Europe, or parts of it. And it also has the feet of a bear. And today, we're listening to that. That possibility. And that wasn't even a possibility a few years ago. No one saw that. And it will have an overall Romish religion and all of that that goes with it. I just mention these things because prophecy is complex. And if you jump in too quickly and reach an opinion, you're going to be stuck. So you're better to wait on the Lord and speak as he guides us. Be careful of some of these things. They're changing right now, every day. Every day you get up. But I was thankful during this time as a little remnant, and I believe it was the Lord. We offered an agreement with him, but it came from understanding the apostolic agreement in Rome. Who would have ever thought that? I never knew that till the Lord revealed that to my heart in study. When Paul went to Rome, do you know Satan tried to drown him before he got to Rome? Why? Wouldn't he want him just to go on to Rome and be beheaded? Think about why Satan tried to drown him in the Acts 27 storm. He didn't want him to reach Rome. Peter, also the great apostle of the kingdom, also was in Rome at the same time. And he was crucified wherein Paul was beheaded. They thwarted the two of them. As the two chief apostles, they thwarted Rome's plan. Amen. And then it began to be unraveled. And we've watched that down through the ages, and I'm going to speak more on that later. But you see that God was moving. He was going to move towards the west. He was going to move eventually through Babylon. We can see that now. But nonetheless, now we're turning to the right. And many people are confused by this, not knowing that it had to turn to the right. Did you know it? And I thought today, Lord, it had to turn to the right because you needed the seven good years. It's not just Babylon, that's where they're going. But he promised that in Genesis 41. I believe that there would be seven good years. And people looked at us when we ministered that and they said, are you sure? I've had people write to me, are you sure? I said, yes. I believe it's in the Word of God. Seven good years before the seven evil years. So for that, I'm thankful for this turn to the right. None of us want to ride this on into Babylon the Great. I can assure you we do not. But I thank the Lord for this time of restoration of our nation. I do. Now we are turning not only right, but we are seeing our adversaries changing hats. When he changes his hat, you know he's been defeated on one side. You do. He put on a white hat to look very different. And we are in what? A climate change. Not the one that they're talking about. But we're in a climate change. Now we'll get, I do believe, come through this rough transition we're in because God wants it to go to the right for his purposes. Praise the Lord. Now we're sailing. I've got a long message. I'm not going to get through it. I can see that. We've moved into two time periods, Matthew 24, you may not need to turn there, but I just want to remind you what you are turning into. And a lot of people question this for a long time, but it turned that way. Verse 37, we are moving into the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Now, I won't turn to Luke 17, but in both of them, there was eating and drinking in the days of Noah, giving in marriage. Also in Luke, for Lot, it's a little bit different. They planted and builded and eating and drinking as well. I suspect there's a difference between the days of Noah and the days of Lot. So think about that for a little while. What was Noah's message? Open door in the ark. He preached that message. Come into the ark. That's one of the greatest foreshadowings of where the living church will lay hold of in these last days. We're going to walk home. How did they get in the ark? They walked in. There was one door. That's a wonderful study. Oh, I got to go through the replica in Kentucky, but they had a different belief system than I do. But, oh, I enjoyed every moment of it. And I almost didn't get there, as most of you know. I was so sick. But I thank the Lord that I got to see at least the replica, because I know the days of Noah and the ark are going to be messages that are going to go forth here and give you an understanding of how God's people go home. You're going to receive it. And I know you will. And then the days of Lot, there was no emphasis on the open door. It was like all things continue. Think of that. Different. And so I'll let you think on that for a little while. But the important thing to remember about both of these time periods, the days of Noah and the days of Lot, especially the days of Noah, it in verse 37 shall also be the coming. That word is parousia, the presence of the Son of Man. Now, they think all things are going to continue, but if the Son of Man is present in his presence, in his coming, it means it's not going to go that way. Do you know that we are in the days of Noah, we have proof that the Lord is in his presence. There's your scripture for it. He's in the presence. And that means he's getting ready to receive his people out of this world. And so hold that in your mind, because these are going to be challenging days for everyone, because the peace and the prosperity, the possibilities, all of that, we know they're going to be prevalent. We know that we're going into the golden age of Babylon. We know what that is. We know it from prophecy, from scripture. But remember this scripture, the Lord is where? He's in his presence. You have proof of it by the scripture, by these days. Amen. I'm sure it was true maybe a little bit before, but we know it now by the word of God. He's present. So things won't go as planned. And as many have said, it will go into the seven evil years. That it will do. And we must remember when we preach, how wonderful to preach the days of Noah, but you'll have to also preach that it will be followed by the seven evil years. For this, you will not be welcomed or received for the most part. Now in Jeremiah 12:5 again, then he asked us, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Jeremiah 12:5. Then he asked the question, you were wearied by the other things, and I was. I was wearied with the dark side. I really was. Then the question is, what wilt thou do with the swelling of Jordan? Why is he speaking of it? Because you're going into another type of conflict. Because your home goal, especially of the church by rank and order, is going to be very troubling to our adversary. And I can assure you, many of us treat the going home like, oh, one glorious, we haven't really thought this through. Or the millennial reign, the same thing. Oh, a glorious 1,000 years, but we don't think what's going to come prior to that. Please understand what the Lord is saying. And I remember in an interpretation of a message given there, I have many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now, but we will bear them because they're true. And so that's the church's conception, basically, of the millennial reign and the great rapture of the church, especially those that believe in the grace. It's going to be glorious, and it will be glorious. But why is this question asked in Jeremiah 12:5? What will you do with the crossing of Jordan? If you were wearied on the dark side, what are you going to do on this light side? I won't go into what Israel went through. We think of her diaspora in 70 AD. Oh, my goodness. I'm sure you've read on that. Sometimes it's horrific reading. And the Holocaust before they became a nation. Think. That's all I'm saying. Think. And I know you do. And now, most of the nations accept Israel as a democracy. Our nation does. You say, this will change, just like it will for the church. The church is going to be asked to look up, to go through an open door out of this world. That's going to very, very much threaten Satan's kingdom in the heavens, whatever is left there. Let me tell you, that's going to be an all-out fight. And Israel, what a wonderful nation, but wait till her promises, messianic promise, and she begins to receive him, that she's going to become the head of the nations. Did you hear me? That's going to threaten the West right now that supports her. So understand, there's going to be a real climate change as our message change. I want to say again, and we could go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 5. This question, we shall not prevent them that are asleep. They shall rise first. That's the dead in Christ. I don't believe Satan can hinder the resurrection of the dead. I don't. They've already crossed the Jordan in their spirit. The last time he challenged can be found in Jude with the body of Moses, and we won't go there, but Michael said to the Lord, the Lord rebuke you. He won't. That is finished. They have finished their course. There is no further fighting or anything for them. They can go out of here first by rank and order, and I'm glad for them. They've already fought their battle with death and a crossing of Jordan. Every one of them have. And that, as you know, they faced death. They had to let go of everything that was material. There is a process to death that you go through. And I don't say that I've been through. I went through a near one two times, and I knew it was a letting go, let go, let go. And it was difficult, but it did a work in my life And every one of those have had a work in their life. But here we are, the living church. You're not going by death. If you are going to be in that heavenly company, Revelations 4 and Revelation 7, it doesn't speak of their death. You are going to walk home. So that means everything that they went through, passing through death, you are going to go through as the living church. Now, just go back and think, if you've lost a loved one, what they've gone through. Just think. And so we're not just going to mount up and walk out of here. We're going to walk. And as we walk, God will change us. Not on just the seventh day when we're ready. He's going to begin to work in your life, in my life. He's going to make changes for these 7 years so that you will be able to walk home with him. And at that moment, it'll be a moment in a twinkling of an eye. They'll just call your name and you're gone. So I think you know all of that. Now, I want to say, the living church, there's a reason for them to be alive and remain. Now, we have the apostasy, seventh stage that we're coming out of. It's a miracle there's any believers. It really is. Every one of you are a miracle, an absolute miracle, to be able to lay hold of some of these truths. But why we're going to be alive here for God to finish the change, because you're not going by death. If you went by death, you'd go through the same process that those that died in Christ went through. But you're not. But you're going to remain here for his purposes as a hindering force. The Lord will not take out the first company, although it will be in that proximity, until there's someone ready to stand in their place. And so think on those things. I'm out of here, not so fast. And you and I will learn to be, and the Lord will ask us, I want you to stand with the church as I make this transition. And we were talking, we had a long discussion on the 144,000. I think there was some light shed there. But there's got to be a ceiling of them. And I won't be dogmatic on that. But the book of Ezekiel is quite clear that they will be sealed in their foreheads probably before we leave this world, because there's no one to stand on the four corners. You know who stands on the four corners holding the four winds right now? It's cherubim saints from the four corners of the ark that are standing there with God and holding back the winds. What would happen if God just removed them? There has to be someone ready to stand there and hold those winds for the rest of the church and for the nation of Israel. So be patient with the Lord as we come through this, and know that he's preparing us for two things: getting ready to get out of here, but also to remain and hold for his purpose. I hope that we grow in this and realize his purposes will become so important to you that you won't care. You'll be willing to do the will of God. It won't be long. But there's an innumerable company coming out of the church, and we're just not going out of here. We are going to be responsible. I believe the 7 good years in the type of Joseph, they stored food for the 7 evil years. They only stored 20%. So think of the amount of truth that's going to go forth in these 7 good years, that you'd only store 20%. What I'm telling you is that God is going to to bring a great outpour of the truth and the mysteries of God and everything. I believe that he's going to do that. Why? Because this company has never heard them and never had an opportunity. So now we need to stand and care about God's people. This was something the Lord really spoke to me down during my trial. If you don't love my people, you don't love me. And I said, yes, Lord. And I got to thinking about the body of Christ. And I was mentioning this to Gloria. If we're being called to be the mother of the seed line, as Rebecca was, how many of you wouldn't care about your children? Think about it. You may even want to stay with them, but you can't. But there's got to be a love. 1 Corinthians 13, I don't care if we understand all mystery, we have all understanding. All of those things that we can say, he says, without Leona Mogoshima, love, I am nothing. And I became nothing before the Lord. Nothing. I want him to finish that work of love so that we can walk through these 7 good years. We're going to encounter every kind of believer there is. And if we ever treat them like, well, they're not in the bride, or this, that's not a right spirit. It is not. The Lord is going to offer them the high calling. He's going to fill up the company. And I don't know who they are or where they're going, but we have to have a heart for that. And God, that's why I need to work. I don't know if you do. I needed this work. The Lord revealed that to me in my heart. And I said, Lord, finish the work. Finish the work. And so, love. Read the love chapter. Believeth all things, beareth all things. And I'm going to close, my time's almost over. I just want to say, when God finishes with you, you know the work isn't finished. You just begin to see what God wants to do in our hearts, enlarge our hearts, and enlarge me, where I'm beyond just myself and what I care about. And where the gospel becomes so important to you. I truly mean that. And I said, Lord, I see people sometimes dying, and I thought, nobody even cared whether they went into the presence of the Lord. I listened. Well, this person did this. Why didn't we care? And some of these we couldn't touch, of course. But in the days ahead, God's going to expect us to touch as many as we can with grace. The wonderful message God has given us. It wasn't given us for us to be swelled in our minds and who we are, but it's the most humbling message I know. And that's going to be the rest of this message, because I'm going to return to Job. And you're going to see what God wants to do in this very first company before we go home. And my time's over tonight. But I felt like in a measure I walked through Job. I did. In a measure. And this is the finishing work God is doing in us now. It's going to be a short work. I know it will. Getting us ready. And I'm going to close there. And I hope you feel, Lord, I need you to finish your work. If you do that, then my message is not in vain. Every one of you, you're so precious to even have an ear to hear. What happened about caring for the lost? What happened to missionaries? Those across the waters. God has to enlarge us. I'll close with this thought. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Why do you have to pray the Lord of the harvest? Because we're the ones that need to understand. He already does. That he'll raise up laborers. He already carries that burden all alone. Now he says, I want you to share that. Amen. So I hope this has been a lesson, and I'll close right there. I'm right on time. So I'll finish. I'm going to come back to Job. I know you're tired of Job, but he's not tired of you yet. There are lessons. That's one of the deepest books I've ever studied. Amen. So let's stand. Lord, thank you for even considering us to be in the company of the cherubim. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for even considering us. Lord, I thank you for that. Now finish your work in every one of us. The days ahead, we are going to need it. And I'm thankful for every one of these that have stood through this test and many others to come. You will see that God will use you. Amen. Praise the Lord.